On the show today, we have Cornerstone Advisors' very own Ron Shevlin talking about Cornerstone's What's Going On in Banking report. And in part two of a two-part series with Ron, he talks about mergers and acquisitions, digital transformation, value chain disruption, and a whole lot more. So check it out. And before we get on with the interview, here's a quick word from our sponsor.
What are some of the most incredible parts of owning a business?
The most incredible part is the journey of it all. The people you get to meet, the rooms you get to be in. That's hands down the best part is you don't know where it's going to take you, but it's the best ride ever. Get through all the downs because the ups are way better.
Brought to you by Canvas Credit Union.
You know, everyone's digital transformation, it was a journey, you know, at the beginning of 2020 or in 2019, but all of a sudden the pandemic hit and that digital transformation went from a journey to a sprint. We all had to be like Usain Bolt and get their digital offerings up. And it sounds like that's what Chime had already going for it and SoFi and probably a lot of these other community banks as well. So what's your take or what did you guys hear in the digital transformation area of this report? Because that's incredibly, incredibly important right now, I hear.
Yeah, I would actually dispute a little bit of that, Mike. I don't know that it's about digital transformation. I have been arguing that a good part of why Chime has been successful is less about digital and more about its product offerings. I like to say that what Chime is competing on is a term that I know it's a stupid consulting term, featureization. And what I mean by that is that, you know, how many credit unions, Mike, have you heard and seen and know that say, you know, we compete on the basis of our superior service. We offer such great service. We, you know, people want to do business with people. You know what? No, they don't. They want to complain to people. When I got a problem, I want to complain to a person. I don't want to complain to a mobile app. But for pretty much everything else, yeah, we're kind of happy to do it through apps and not through people.
Yeah.
And you know, Chime has been pushing its features like early access to your paycheck, features like SpotMe, which enable you to basically overdraw on your account without a fee for, you know, up to a certain amount for a certain mm-hmm. period of time. Mm-hmm. They've got a credit builder credit card, which is hugely popular with their customer base. And so that's one aspect of why I think Chime has succeeded. Okay. The other thing that I would kind of dispute is, and we heard this so many times during 2020, that the pandemic led to an acceleration in digital transformation. I'm like, no. It did not lead to an acceleration in digital transformation. It led to an acceleration in digital adoption. But that did not change the rate of transformation of credit unions. That's a longer term journey
mm-hmm.
to really kind of, I mean, you know, basically what a lot of credit unions were doing, and to their credit, Mike, absolutely to their credit, mm-hmm. you know, they responded well, they put band-aids on, they stopped the bleeding, they stopped the flow, they took care of the problems, they really did yeoman's job of taking care of the problems.
Mm-hmm.
But they did not accelerate their digital transformation in terms of new system adoption. And I've been arguing that, you know, look, until you've basically have replaced your core, if it's 30, 40 years old, or at the least, you know, at the least put some sort of, you know, core integration platform on top of it, or have developed really good, sophisticated core workaround strategies, you have not digitally transformed. And I don't think any of those things accelerated during 2020. I think what we saw was simply a acceleration of adoption, not transformation. And so, you know, what we looked at this year in the survey was, when did you start your digital transformation journey? How far along are you? And what impact is it having? And the top impact areas, two things about them. Number one, generally speaking, across like 12 or 14 different types of business metrics, no more than 30% said that they have seen a significant impact in that particular metric. And the number one metric was growth in loan demand. And me being the skeptic, Mike, I look at that and say, well, you know, is it really the increase you see in loan demand come really because you digitally transformed or because the economy was doing so well in 2018 and 2019? Yeah. And then, you know, so I'm a little skeptical whether the transformation was really the driver of some of that benefits they've seen. But as I said, the more cautionary tale is that, you know, I think we're very still early in the true digital transformation journey for a good portion of credit unions. And, you know, it's funny you bring up Alliant Credit Union. I would point to them as being one of the credit unions more at the forefront of this. Them, Boeing Credit Union, you know, two that come to mind. You know, it was Alliant that a number of years ago really shifted away from, you know, a branch-centric strategy to really building out digital capabilities. And I think even they and, you know, their new CEO would say, no, no, we still got a long way to go.
Yep. I think a lot of people are in that boat for sure. Hey, I want to switch gears here because I know you were kind of short on time here, but mergers and acquisitions, that's always going to be a hot topic, whether we're in a pandemic or not. So what was the temperature? What were some of the findings in that area that you guys in this report?
Yeah, Mike, listen, I'm not going to scare your viewers away by trying to sing, but man, the song Hot, 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 man, that's the one that comes to mind immediately. I mean, clearly 2020 was not a great year for mergers, and I don't think it represented, you know, any shift in demand or interest in the mergers. That was simply a mechanism of, you know, the result of the pandemic for mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm. And so for this year, you know, a lot of credit unions see a much more favorable environment for mergers and acquisitions. And Mike, I got to share with you one statistic that absolutely blew me away. And I find it practically impossible to believe, but 39% of the credit union executives we surveyed for this study believe that they are either somewhat or very likely to be an acquirer in 2021. And that's just absolutely ridiculous. There's just no way 39-40% of credit unions are going to be acquiring, you know, another credit union or even a bank. We didn't kind of specify that, but I find it very hard that 40% of credit unions are going to be on the, you know, acquiring. And whether that's, you know, acquiring another credit union, acquiring a bank, acquiring or a non-bank type of entity, it seems really high. But, you know, what I think it does measure is the optimism and the uptick in the merger and acquisition area that we'll see, not just this year, but, you know, assuming things stay fairly normal or get better, that it'll be a longer term trend, at least for the next 2 to 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think this one's going to go away ever until we get down to what, you know, 3,000, 2,000, something like that. So
I'm not going to put my, you know, number out there. I don't know. I have not really kind of forecasted it. Don't see the point in doing it. What difference does it make if it's 3,000 or 2,000? You know, the point is that, you know, here's to me what I think the point is, Mike, and what I think is really important is there, you know, why what's driving this is clearly a lot of economics and need for scale. And I think what a lot of executives in the space, both on the credit union and the bank side, are just not sort of thinking clearly enough about is that merger is not the only path to scale. There are ways to scale better through technology and partnerships. Mm-hmm. And I think there needs to be a lot more creative thinking about that in the area versus saying, okay, listen, we're at one, we got to get to 10 billion and how are we going to do it? You know, I was talking with a mid-sized bank executive a couple of months before the pandemic hit, and he's about $3 billion local to me, saying, okay, you know, I'm scoping things out, and here's my problem. I got about 8 or 10 banks that I can identify that if I were to acquire them all would get me to about $10 billion in assets. But do you know how damn long it's going to take? I'm cleaning things up in that word, you know, but he says, you know how damn long it would take me to, you know, execute on all those mergers. He goes, it sounds good, but it is just a lot of work and a lot of time to do all of this. We got to find other ways to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think technology and partnerships is a way to kind of get there. And you know, Mike, if you're going to spend all this time and effort on the merger and acquisition side and the work it takes to do it, well, then for Christ's sakes, you know, spend the money for some sort of, you know, then spend the money on a core replacement or a core integration strategy that'll enable, you know, better partnerships and more of a plug and play type of environment so you can scale. But the underlying message, I think, is, you know, the industry's got to start looking at technology as a mechanism to scale and not just M&A activity.
Yeah. And the name that comes to mind is Linda Bodie from Element Federal Credit in West Virginia. She's, I mean, gosh, if you want to know creativity and leveraging the technology, she is one you need to talk to for sure. So she's done a great job there. We could go on and on forever here, Ron. I know you guys, Sean. Last one here I wanted to cover was, why will 2021 be the year of value chain disruption in banking?
So that was my response to the every year. You can find some blog post somewhere. In fact, you find a lot of blog posts somewhere that always claims that the upcoming year is going to be the year of the customer. It's been the year of the customer for the past 20 years, and only because that's as far as I've ever looked back for. And it's kind of nonsense. And I've always hated that kind of stuff of, you know, saying that. But I went out on a limb and I said that 2021 was going to be the year of value chain disruption. Because as I looked at what the hot trends in the space are, I noticed a common factor that cut across them. One of the trends is clearly a renewed focus on small business. But Mike, it's not just about, gee, let's go out and recruit a bunch of small businesses to open up a checking account with us, or, you know, try to do a little bit more small business lending. What's happening in this space is a lot of traditional financial institutions are already getting their lunch eaten or are about to get their lunch eaten by competitors like Shopify and Square and Gusto, who are using their positions in the small business value chain, either from a payments perspective, an HR perspective, whatever it might be, or e-commerce perspective, to expand the set of services and kind of get in on this banking as a service type of a capability to expand the set of services and grow from the perspective that they have. And so the thought there is that, well, what's happening is that, you know, if you think of the checking account as one part of the value chain in a small business, mm-hmm. you know, the competition is moving not at the point of, who can get the checking account, but who can get more fundamentally into the small business, whether it's through payroll, HR, payments, or some other aspect of the value chain, like where a Square is with many of the small businesses that it does business with. See this as well, you know, in other areas, from a payroll perspective. I think payroll APIs are going to be a really hot area as firms try to simplify things like payroll verification. Mm-hmm. Look what Plaid just announced a day or two ago, a thing called Deposit Switch, mm-hmm. where you can more easily switch where your direct deposit goes. You know, this is moving up the value chain to the source of whatever. And so that's why, you know, I see this commonality in the various trends of pushing the point of competition up the value chain, not from the actual product that's necessarily being sold, mm-hmm. but to some other point in the customer's value chain. And that's why I said, look, the 2021 is really going to start the kickoff of this, transformation of the value chain. Because I think, the last point I'd make on this, you look at what's happening from a fintech perspective over the past couple of years, it's been very user interface focused. You know, you've got the digital banks that come out and go, oh, we have a better user experience. It's like, great, you've got better, you have a better UI design. Big deal. The problems that consumers have with their accounts and they're moving their money is a lot more than just usability types of issues. So that's why, I really kind of try to put the stake in the ground and go, this is about, you know, the point of competition is moving up the value chain, and this is what banks and credit unions are going to really have to start wrestling with.
Mm-hmm, no doubt. Well, I'm actually very excited and optimistic about 2021 as well, based on what we went through last year. How can you not be? So I appreciate the time as always, Ron. Again, there's so many things to cover here, but you got a job to do. So I want to keep you from your work. And last question here, I lied. One more. Where can folks go to find out more details from this report? Where can they go?
Come to the Cornerstone site, crnrstone.com. And I haven't tried this, but I'm willing to bet if you just Googled what's going on in banking, I would bet that it would get to me. And of course, if I can put a plug in, would like to ask everybody to, you know, I also write about this a lot in my blog, which is called The Fintech Snark Tank on Forbes.
Yes.
So I'd like to ask everybody to kind of check that out. And, you know, worst comes to worst, just hit me up on Twitter at rshevlin, rshevlin.
Yes, I've seen the V and the L switched a time or
yeah,
two.
Yeah, that's why I spell it.
Okay. All right, Ron, I'll let you get back to work. Appreciate the time as always. Bud. Great, great stuff. And enjoy your snow, all right?
I will do, Mike. Thanks.
You're welcome.